Well, thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, I'm going to read starting in verse 15 through 26. Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 26. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray. Father, help us to remember the price that was paid. Father, help us to remember the reason that the price was paid. Father, help us to remember the joy that was set before Jesus, that he endured the cross, that he knew every one of our names. He knew us personally. And that's the joy, and that's the reason that he came to save the sinners, the lost, to save the world, Lord, from their sins, that he may be the propitiation, Lord, to cover for the sins that man has done. Father, help us to remember that you cry out to us with love and compassion, grace and mercy, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father, would you bless this time, bless this message, bless this people, bless this service, bless these words, Lord, we ask. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus was near crucifixion here. His ministry on earth was coming to an end. And he was brought before the governor. And in verse 22 is really what I want to focus on today. And Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" It's the greatest question ever asked. It's a question that every single person that has ever walked the face of the earth has to ask himself, has to answer himself. What shall I do with this Jesus who's called the Christ? It's a fair question. You know, it's not saying, who do I think he is, or Who do you think he is? But who does he say he is? Right? That's where it has to start. If we want to answer that question, we have to say, who does Jesus say that he is? You know, Scripture says we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. His tomb is empty. I know next week we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Easter, and that's wonderful. Mary went to the grave, and the angel said to him, he is not here, for he is risen. That's the God that we serve. That's the Jesus that the Bible talks about. His tomb is empty. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Yes, he's near crucifixion here. And Pilate unknowingly asks the greatest question can ever be asked in all of the world for all eternity. What then shall I do? It becomes personal, you see. What then shall I do with this Lord Jesus Christ? I've shared many times with you how my brother-in-law first came and shared Christ with me, and it became a question where I had to answer, what then shall I do with this Lord Jesus Christ? Many people come up with different questions, with different answers regarding this. Well, if we believe the Word of God, believe the Bible is true, it's a question that we have to ask ourselves. The Word of God, written by man, yes, but inspired by God. You see, this is all about an account of who God is and his relationship with man. It's all about how will he or does he impact your life? It's amazing to think that Jesus was being judged by Pilate right here. But you see, there's going to be a day when Pilate, there was a day when Pilate was judged by Jesus. And there'll be a day when we all stand before Jesus. And that question is going to ring true to our ears, to our ears. What shall we do, or what did we do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? It's a fair question, people. It's a fair question that we all need to answer, though some people don't want to answer it, choose to ignore it. Well, ignoring it is an answer. Ignoring the answer to that question is an answer. Well, what did Pilate do? How did he answer it? Let me look back when Christ was born. King Herod was the king of the land. And the wise men came to seek him out. You know, many times we think of that picture of the wise men coming to seek him out, of Christ being in a manger. Well, really, Christ was 1 or 2 years old at the time when the wise men came. When they came to Herod, the wise men came to Herod, the king over the land, and they said, where is he, the king of the Jews? Herod got very upset, angry, because how dare someone else be called the king? I'm the king. I'm King Herod. The point that I want to make here is that the wise men sought Jesus out. King Herod hated him, in fact, sought to kill him. And King Herod called his wise men, his magicians. And they said, "Who is this that they talk about, the king of the Jews?" And his wise men said to them, "Oh, the scriptures say this is he. He will be born in this area. He will be the Messiah who is coming." They knew all about it, but they were just so unaffected. Didn't think about it. And I thought those three different set of views still goes on today. There's some that seek after him. Who is he? Who is this that the wise men sought after? The Messiah, the King. Some seek after him. Some hate him. And some are just ambivalent toward him. Like those wise men of King Herod. And I wonder, where was Pilate here in this thing when he cries out and he says, "What shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" It really becomes a personal thing. So that's what I want to ask you today. What shall you do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? And it's not just for salvation. It's for every walk of life, every circumstance that you endure, every conflict that we battle with, every struggle that we have. What then shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? How shall I handle this grief? How shall I handle this suffering? What does God say to me? The greatest question ever asked. Well, I feel like Pilate looked at the voice of reason first. He said, "I listen to the witnesses of what they say about this man. I don't know about him, but what has he done?" Do you ever think about that when you talk to some people who seem to have this hatred for him? I remember sharing with a fellow worker years back, and he would tell me, "Well, I don't think I could go to church because my wife just hates God, wants nothing to do with him because she says that he took her mother away from her when she was just a little baby. Her mother died." Okay. So, number one, you want to say, well, reason says you want to hate a God who you don't believe exists, number one. And then you want to say, okay, he took my mother away. I want nothing to do with him. I couldn't get him to hear what I had to say or to come to church. Some people just hate him. But here, Pilate says, what has he done? Witnesses had shared. People were raised from the dead. He said to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He said to people, "Your sins are forgiven you." Is it worthy to look into this and to say, is the words of what Jesus says real and true? Is eternity hanging in the balance? Voice of reason. I think it was C.S. Lewis that termed the phrase, and there was a book by this title, "Liar, Lunatic, or Lord." You have to ask yourself this question. Is he a liar if he said he came to redeem the world of their sins? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Does he not know what he's talking about? He's just some guy that needs to be on medication? Or is he Lord? Like he says he's Lord. Is he Lord? Is he Lord? Can he forgive us of our sins? Can he heal us? Can he restore what the locusts have eaten? Like it says in Job. Can he repair our lives? Does he walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death? Is he a liar or Lord or a lunatic? Which is he? You have to ask yourself that question. Pilate looked at the voice of reason and disregarded it. Then his wife came to him. His wife came to him and said, "Have nothing to do with this man." Somehow, in some way, in some form, she had known about her, heard about her, understood who this Jesus Christ was. How it could change our lives. How it could change my life. I just recently heard a 20-minute video. I watched a 20-minute video of a gentleman who did all sorts of problems and wrongs and was in prison for many years. And his prison cellmate had a Bible, and when he was leaving, he said, "Here, I don't need this anymore. You take it. Gives you something to read while you're here in this cell." And the gentleman shared how he started reading the scripture, how God started drawing to him through the power of the Holy Spirit, calling to us. And he became a Christian. And now he does a great service to prison ministries in the south of our country. I'd love to see it come to the north of our country. I often think about prisoners in prison, lonely, feeling guilt or rejected or hateful or just angry at the world, whatever it is. It's nothing new to the Lord Jesus. Scripture says that he came to seek and to save those that are lost. So Pilate listen to the voice of reason. He said, "The man has done nothing wrong." His wife came to him to share to him about Christ. Can I ask you, has a loved one come to you and shared with you about Christ? Has a wife come to you and shared with you about Christ and said, he is real? Is that some story or fairy tale, like Keith Green would say in one of his songs? Won't you hear him? Won't you listen to his words? Like the woman at the well, he says, "Come and hear this man who talks to me. He tells me all the things that I have done. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah." And many from the town came out. Have you had someone, loved one, share with you about Jesus Christ? Are you open to hear and to listen? Well, the voice of reason, and his wife came. Then, of course, his own conscience came. He said to them, he replied to them, "What has he done? He did no crime. Why do we hate him so? Why does that gentleman that I worked with, why does his wife hate him so?" But you find that in the world today. And then how about the very words of Jesus? So Pilate listened to his voice of reason. He listened to his wife. He listened to his conscience. And he listened to the voice of reason. Let me turn to John 18. Let me just read verse 37. John 18, 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this very cause I was born, and for this very cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." He also heard directly from Jesus. So have we. So have you. This very day, I may have spoke them, but these are the words of Jesus. Adrian Rogers says, I always remember, he said, he's just a Western Union boy. He's just one bringing the message, sharing the message, the words of Christ of what he has said. You've heard from Jesus today. You've heard his words today. He says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." He's come to forgive the world of sins. You see, this Jesus, what does he offer? What is he peddling, if you will? Some people want to say that. Salvation. Eternity is in the balance, and everyone listening to my voice, or everyone who has ever walked the face of the earth, has to answer that question. What shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? And not answering it is answering it. He offers salvation. He offers comfort. Boy, we need comfort. Life is short. Life is difficult. We need mercy. We need forgiveness. He says he's paid the price for our sins. He says that we can now boldly go before the throne of grace. Remember in the Old Testament when they would set up the tabernacle and there was this large, thick veil between the outer area and the Holy of Holies where only the priest could go in. And the commentaries say that that curtain that separated the two was like 4 inches thick material. Well, Scripture says that God has torn it in two. We can boldly go before the throne of grace. There's a God who created all things that forgiven you and forgiven me. Pilate listened to public opinion. What'll happen? All of the Pharisees, all of the elders said, "If you don't crucify him, we're going to take this before Caesar. Only Caesar is Lord." Oh, Pilate can't deal with that. I'm going to lose my place. Do we think about that sometimes? What do people think? I'm going to lose my place. I can't be considered wishy-washy because I think that there is this God, this Christ, who's forgiven me, and I'm going to change my life and change my world. Oh no, I have to stand strong and be a man, they say. Forge my own way, they say. I can't deal with that. Very well, he said, fine, you take him. His blood is on your hands. Well, his blood is not on your hands. His blood is on our own hands. He paid the price for my sins and your sins. And one day we'll stand before him. Scripture says Jesus is our advocate with the Father. His pride. Let me look in John. John 19. Verses 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they had thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Excuse me, I think I'm on the wrong passage. But his pride is what said, no, I'm not going to kowtow or cower down or kneel to him. And some people say, well, I'll tip my hat to him. I'll say, yes, there is a God, and I'll do the best that I can in living. But he's not going to be my Lord. How do I tell you today any plainer than this? One day we will all stand before a God. One day we will all give an account. One day we will hear him say these words. What words? Depart from me or enter into your rest? It really is the greatest question ever asked. The greatest question you could ever answer. Eternity is in the balance. In John 6, when he said to them, who do you say that I am? The apostle Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You can find mercy and forgiveness. You can find a new life. You could find a way to have your life where it takes away or replenishes all that the locusts have eaten in your life. What is your issue? Whatever your issue, whatever your problem, whatever your circumstance is. I'm not standing here before you today and say, life is easy. Life is not easy. But I'm saying that we serve a risen Savior. What's your worry? What's your problem today? What shall you do with this Jesus who's called the Christ? Not just for salvation, but every problem or situation that occurs in your life. Scripture says he's worthy to be praised. Some hate him, like Herod. Some ignore him, like Herod's wise men. Just totally ambivalent. Scripture says that he walks with us through the dark valleys of life. Scripture says that by his stripes we are healed. I look forward to next Sunday when we talk about the resurrection Christ. Yes, it's so true, and it's such a blessing. But first he died. First he hung on the cross. First he bled. First he said to his Father, it is finished. The price has been paid. By his stripes we're healed. That's the simple gospel. That's who he is. So do we answer this question like Herod did? Or his wise men did? Or Pontius Pilate did? What shall I do with this Jesus? who's called the Christ. Praise him, is the answer. Honor him, for he is worthy. Come to him. Seek him. Call upon him. And let those other things just fade away. Public opinion, our own pride, our own sense of strength, or our own sense of righteousness, our own sense of trying to handle the situations that befall us. We all have difficulties that we're facing. I have one myself. What do? I put it in God's hands. God, you know the hairs on my head. Less and less every day. But God, I know you love me. I know you died for me. I know your word says that you'll walk with me through the valleys, through the difficult times, through the trials, through the hardships. We live in a fallen world. The scripture says this world is not our home. Let me close with this. What shall you do with this Jesus who's called the Christ in your life, in any situation? First and foremost, for salvation. If you're here today and if you've not accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, today is the day for you to do so. He cries out to you. You have to answer this question someday, sometime, some point. In Hebrews, scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Someday you'll stand before a mighty God. Won't you come to him? He cries to you to come. And what trouble or difficulties do you encounter? Won't you come to him? He cries. He says, I'll walk with you. I'll hold you. I'll comfort you. What a mighty God we serve. We came here today, like we sang, to worship the mighty God. That's why we gather together. And that's what we should be doing every day. May today be a day for you. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes as I pray. I'm going to ask you a question. Today, what shall you do with this Jesus who's called the Christ? Would you cry about him? Cry to him for salvation? While everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you have said, yes, Lord Jesus, forgive me and make me a child of God. Forgive me my sins. Would you let me know by raising your hand so I can see? Perhaps today is that day for you. And Father, so many of us encounter difficulties and trials in our lives. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, Lord, are there some that say, yes, I need to trust Christ in that situation, in those circumstances, and I need you to give me that peace that passes understanding, the strength to overcome. Is that you today? May I see your hand to say yes. Yes, thank you. Father, may you bless this time. May you bless your people. We praise you, God, because you are worthy. You're the God who created all things, and God who sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. We praise you, Lord. We praise you because you are worthy. God bless. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.